Let's pray. We do praise you, Lord, and again, I ask you to speak to our hearts. Your word of truth, press it deep inside. In Jesus' name, amen. If the Apostle Paul were here this morning, would we listen to him? Let's say he is our guest speaker, and his subject matter is the gospel. Would we give him our full attention? Even more specifically, let's say that the great apostle is here this morning and he is very upset because several in our fellowship have turned to a different gospel, which isn't a gospel at all. Would we listen to him then? That was exactly the occasion for his letter to the Galatians. How many we do not know, but there were enough people in the churches of Galatia that it embraced a false gospel that Paul felt the urgent need to confront them. They had turned away from the gospel that Paul had previously preached to them, the same gospel that they had received. So if Paul were to visit us today to preach to us in the context of the gospel versus the false gospels, to teach us and to rebuke us, would we listen to him? The funny thing is, which is one of those things, the funny thing that isn't really funny, but it's a very powerful and compelling thought, is that, yes, we can find out if we would listen. We can know, and we will find out this morning if we would listen to the Apostle Paul if he were here this morning, because, in a sense, he is. We have his words. We have his clear, compelling account of the one true gospel. The gospel that Paul preached. If you turn your Bibles with me to Galatians 1, verse 1, I'm going to read the entire chapter. I know we looked at the first several verses last week. Not sure how long we're going to be in Galatians 1. I guess we're going to be in Galatians 1 until God says we've enough. And we're going to be somewhat topical. Likely next week, we're going to be in the first part of Galatians 2. And we are going to look at the gospel that Paul preached in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Primarily where Paul speaks of, by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of your own doing, not of works, lest anyone should brag or boast. So if you want to look ahead, that phrase, we are saved by grace, saved by grace through faith. Next week, the emphasis will be saved by grace. What does that mean? It is so far-reaching. It is so powerful. It has such implications to any of us or any group that desires to have any work, any way that we can do something to earn our salvation. And this is, we want to hear. Well, we'll see today, because Paul is going to speak, he's going to compare the gospel that he preached to these false teachers. And so our emphasis is going to be this week, next week, probably the week after, the gospel that Paul preached, because that is where he gives us the dividing line. Verse 1 of Galatians 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man. Let me stop there for a second. I try to interrupt myself less, you know, but sometimes it is appropriate. What I just said, the Apostle Paul's not here, is he? You just have me. But his words are here. And the Holy Spirit of God is here. And if you're a believer in him, his spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And in fact, there's some ways that it's better that the Apostle Paul isn't here with just this single message, because we have his complete body of work in the New Testament. And we are going to go back and forth and forth and back to hear this clear, compelling account of the one true gospel, that being, as Paul in his words says, the gospel that he preached. So, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Paul preached the gospel that he received from Christ. See, this is the watershed. This is the dividing line. This is where Paul makes his mark. There are other gospels. Every other gospel is a modification, though. See, when we have this, we have the expression, because it's from Scripture. We preach Christ crucified. That's Paul's gospel. We're going to look at the elements of that, but I want us to first see that Paul preached the gospel that he received from Christ. I'm going to plug the study notes again. A lot of really good stuff, but the common thread or the common dynamic in Paul's gospel, he preached what he received. And we have those things in our mind. Paul said, this is not man's gospel. This isn't what Paul's good idea. If you remember, we read here that he was pursuing zealously the traditions of his father, of his forefathers. If you would turn with me to Philippians 3, you can turn there. I'll just read it for us. But Philippians 3, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, if there was someone that had it together, let me see if I can. Yeah, he says. Verse 3 of Philippians 3, For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now remember that, putting no confidence in the flesh, that means God gives us His truth, we don't touch it. Remember we talked about the coffee cup and your dishwasher is kind of long in tooth, or maybe you stacked it in there the wrong way. Somebody does that sometimes, not saying anything. And then it doesn't drain the stuff out and you get all that gritty, yucky stuff in there. And then you pour that nice fresh cup of Folgers in the morning. Don't anybody tell on me either because she had her head down. And you pour that fresh cup of Folgers in there and it contaminates it. See, this is what any works that we add, anything we have beyond the gospel that Paul preached, the clear, essential content that Paul had, anything that we add, what that shows is we have confidence in the flesh. Well, Paul's going to say, I threw that out the window. He said, though I myself have, verse 4, Philippians 3, though I myself has reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless, but whatever gain I had, he said it, out the window. He said, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now we're going to see in a little bit his encounter on the road to Damascus. But Paul, getting the point across, verse 11, I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul received the gospel. We see this, you'll see this in your study notes again and again. You'll see these two words are very similar. What he preached is what he received. We'll see this when we look at the essential content later in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, what I preach is what you've received. I've received what I received, I preached. You received it, he said. He said, this is what I delivered to you. We are messenger boys and girls. We don't mess with the words. Sometimes people are very well intended because they think that church needs awakened. That church needs restored, one group said. And they started things years ago. They have these quote unquote good ideas. But it shows the confidence of the place. It shows it's just the human mind, the natural mind. You'll see in your study notes, the natural mind that cannot comprehend the things of God. So God has to be the one that shows us his gospel. That's exactly what happened to Paul. Paul received his gospel training directly from God for 3 years in Arabia. He had the, we're going to turn there briefly in a minute, the Damascus Road experience. But John MacArthur said in his, when it says here, I did not receive it from any man. He says, he did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. This was in contrast to the Judaizers who received their religious instruction from rabbinic tradition. Most Jews did not study the actual scriptures. Instead, they used human interpretations of scripture as their religious authority and guide. Many of their traditions not only were not taught in Scripture, but also contradicted it. And in Mark 7:13, the reference for that is, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. This is happening in the church in our country today. This isn't somewhere out there. This is here among us. And we can open God's word and say, well, I had God's word open. But were we following the words that were actually written, the clear, compelling testimony? Or are we reading this and we've got this grid in our eyes? It's our traditions. Oh, I know what this means. Now, it might not say that, but I know what that means. Those are our traditions. Whether we are embracing those traditions formally or informally, it's what has filtered in over the years. It's what has been accepted wrongly by the church in the United States in evangelicalism, in fundamentalism, and we still say, the Word of God, the Word of God, but we're not looking at the specific words of God. So often, it is our tradition that dictates the course. So we can't say, oh, we're separated from that. Let's go on to the next thing because we don't deal with that. Well, we do deal with that. If we want to hear the clear, compelling account of the gospel that Paul preached, we will look very carefully at the words. We will let the words push aside our traditions. And that's what Paul did. Paul was fully immersed in Judaism, and he got punched in the nose on the road to Damascus. Paul's second point today, first, Paul preached the gospel that he received from Christ. Secondly, Paul preached grace because he was called by grace. Verse 13, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him. Now there's so much in that. Jesus Christ in John 1:18, and I'll probably have this verse on your study sheet next week. These studies, they're interlocked. I can't keep them completely separated. We're going to really emphasize saved by grace next week. But John 1:18 tells us, now let me look there because I might have a different, John 1:18. Be there in a second. I should have used my phone. I'm much faster on the phone. Okay. And it's not 18. It's 16. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Another in 1 John, and I don't have it right off the top, but it's full of grace and truth. See, when Paul met grace and truth on the road to Damascus, that is when he was converted. He was embracing the traditions. He was embracing the Old Testament in a way, although the traditions were layered on top of the Old Testament. But when he came face to face to Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ. Now, we can turn there now to Acts chapter 9, verse 1. You can read this whole, this entire chapter. But I want to just kind of dip our feet and to stick our toe in the water, so to speak. And Acts chapter 9, verse 1. But Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Well, Saul, he wasn't Paul yet. If you read Saul here, he was later, his name was changed. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and ask him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, these people following Jesus, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now this wasn't, okay kids, hold hands and walk in line. This was bound as prisoners. This was bonded, chained together probably. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice. Can you imagine? Here he's violent. This isn't just some theological disagreement. He is wreaking havoc in the church. I'll back up again. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Now this is something, just reading this again, either this morning or late last night, that just stood as one of those good thoughts that kind of trickle in at the end. Verse 6, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Who's Saul taking his marching orders from now? Isn't that interesting? immediately. It's Lord Jesus. But how? He was pursuing he was religious beyond being religious. When did his heart bow before God? Well, that's back here in our Galatians text, verse 15 of chapter 1. But when he who had set me apart was before I was born and who called me by his grace. When he when he met the one who was full of grace and truth, this powerful light that caused him to fall to the ground. And as he's falling to the ground, he heard Christ, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Why would Jesus say that? Because we are Jesus' church. The church is a body of Christ. Hang on to that, that Paul preached grace because he was called by the grace of God. Paul made no headway for joy and peace, for eternal life, until he met grace. All of his Old Testament instruction, he was Pharisee of the Pharisees, didn't matter. None of it until he met the grace of God. Acts 20, verse 24. I've got that reference down. I'm not sure why, but I think it was a really good one. So if you want to turn there, I'm going to read it. Acts 20, 24. Yeah. Acts 20, 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry. Here's our word again, that I received. See, it's like when I, a lot of years ago, when I put siding on the house in Terre Haute, and then what did I see all over the place then? People putting siding on and looking at this job. And you once you get this in your mind, what we received. He preached what he received. And he says right here in this text, in verse 24, the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. When did that begin? Well, when he's laying there on the ground with this piercing light on the way to Damascus. Did Paul have anything, any merit? No. He says later, this is one of the reasons why he says, I was the chiefest of sinners. Paul would be he was the first to admit, and he would be the first to admit. See, this is what grace is. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Paul did not deserve it. The unmerited, undeserved grace, the favor of God. But it's not just favor like Grandma Mary. It's favor of the Lord God, the Almighty, who by grace you are saved. It's the power of God. The gospel, I will continue. I may finish the course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the power of God to those who believe. The gospel of the grace of God. We start understanding the grace of God. God builds that wonderful, powerful biblical doctrine more and more in our minds. The gospel becomes clearer and clearer and more compelling. And it thrills our soul and it empowers us. It gives us strength. It gives us peace. It gives us joy. It gives us hope. Paul preached grace because he was called by grace. In your study notes, the distinguishing trait of Paul's gospel was grace. Our third this morning, Paul preached the revealed Son of God. Now we can't miss this. We're back in Galatians, verse 16. Let me start on verse 15. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his Son to me. This is why we say, I preach Christ crucified. John Calvin tells us this. Just don't let me forget where I was, okay? But this is something, you know, I was telling someone, I can't remember who, one of you, I said, the internet, I said, you know, yes, it's got some horrible stuff going on. It's got its flaws, this and that and the other. But man, what a blessing it is if we let God, we're God directed in that. So I'm thinking, I read a comment on John Calvin, and I thought, boy, it'd be nice to have Calvin's commentary on Galatians, wouldn't it? So I looked on my main software, and it was reasonable. It was like I have about everything digital now, and it was like 23 something. That's reasonable. But I thought, here's a little tip for you. Wonder what Amazon Kindle has it for? Because I got the Kindle app on everything that I have. $1.99. Remember those two cowboys sitting out the TurboTax commercial? $9.99. Well, I got this at $1.99. John Calvin's commentary on Galatians and Ephesians. And very, very powerful. You know, one of the things that commentators will make, the mention of Calvin, is, you know, because a lot of these guys, they're so far back, it's so hard to follow the flow of the language, the syntax, the words they use, just everything. But Calvin, of course, it depends on the interpreter, too. He was French. And his name's not really John Calvin. It's J-E-A-N-C-A-U-V-I-N. I'd never studied French, so I won't butcher the name. But anyway, depending on the translator. But what a blessing. What a blessing that you, $1.99, the Galatians and Ephesians, the full commentary. So this is what one of the things I got from that. John Calvin, the gospel of Christ. To know what are the leading points of the gospel is a matter of unceasing importance. When these are attacked, the gospel is destroyed. When he adds the word, speaking of Paul, of Christ, this may be explained in two ways. Either that it has come from Christ as its author, or that it purely exhibits Christ. You follow that? It's either something that is received from Christ, or it purely exhibits Christ. Back again to our phrase to the scripture, we preach Christ crucified. That is the gospel. Paul preached the revealed Son of God. If you remember, the true gospel is the gospel that Paul preached. That's the horse that we are going to ride. Everything else will fit in around that. We saw that earlier in Galatians 1. The essential content of the gospel is Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:21-24. You've got this on your study sheet. 1 Corinthians, why don't I just read it from the study sheet instead of turning there? Okay. 1 Corinthians 1:21-24. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to those who believe. Believe is another big one that we're going, what does it mean to believe? Because we have people who have even started movements because they say, oh, that easy believism. We've got to have things that we've got to do. We've got to have some works. Because those people, easy believism, well, they don't understand what believe means. They don't know the biblical meaning of believe. We're going to look at that. But for Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Why does Paul do that? Well, that's what he received. He got flattened on the road to Damascus and taken out in the wilderness in Arabia for 3 years. And he was given the gospel from God himself. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He said, when back in the Galatians text, and I lost my place, but we'll find her here in a second, in the Galatians text, he was called by me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me. The essential content is Christ crucified. Where can we see that given in even more detail? Well, funny that you ask. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4, on your study sheet also. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Now I would remind you, brothers, listen for our words, preached, received. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I what? Preached to you, which you? In which you stand and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also see. And now you'll start seeing it everywhere. What back here, Paul said, this isn't man's gospel. Paul said everything. This is why he was so adamant about getting them listening to him. He said he was an apostle. Because he'd have these false teachers that we said last week. Yeah, maybe they were very influential. Maybe they were very charismatic. I don't mean like charismatic like the religious tradition, but I mean, you know, compelling, their personalities. But Paul said, you need to listen to me. This is life or death. John Calvin, in another quote, he said, to distort the gospel is highly criminal. We cannot emphasize too much getting the gospel right. How did I start last week? If I get the gospel wrong, then I am. If you get the gospel wrong, then you are accursed. I don't think we can get much stronger language or a harder emphasis than that. Even Calvin's calling it highly criminal doesn't compare to, if we get it wrong, we're accursed. It is life or death forever. It is blessing or cursing. How do we know the true gospel? Paul said, it's the gospel that I preached. And that's why we are going to plow through this and we're going to dissect it. And we're going to continue. We'll stay in Galatians 1 and these other texts. I've got a big long line of list of references so we can see how clear and compelling what is the gospel that Paul preached, because it's the only one. How many gospels are there? One. There's no gospel 1A. There's no, well, my buddy, he adds this on it too. Or these churches over there, they add this to it. And they really seem like good Christian people, so, you know, we'll let gospel 1A and gospel. No, there's no works. We'll look at, and this is not of your own doing. Paul's own doing was breathing violence against the church. God's doing in Paul's life was grace and knocking him down on the road. And then just as I said this morning, that verse 6 of chapter 9, and the grace transformation, full of grace and truth. Don't ever let those two separate. Grace isn't some wishy-washy, wink at sin. If that's what you think it is, you have no clue. You're walking in darkness. Paul met grace and truth. He said, what next, Lord? God was then giving him his marching orders. The essential content of the gospel then, you'll see on your study sheet, the content of Paul's gospel is extremely exclusive. That's not what's popular today. It's inclusive. Let's include, let's see if we can bring, no, it's not. It's exclusive, restricted, limited. The gospel is succinct. Paul preached what he had received from Jesus Christ. His top priority was deliver to them, to deliver to them. This is my heart's intent every time I get in this pulpit, to only deliver to you what is in this word of truth. I know I am a human instrument, but I want you to know my heart's intent, and it's designed. It's my template is Paul. And he said, I deliver to you what I received. Only what he had received from Christ, and here is the gospel. For I delivered, it's on your study sheet about two-thirds of the way down, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Now remember, when he says, we preach Christ crucified, well, here's the parts. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That Christ was buried. That Christ was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures. That's it. That is the essential content. There are no additions. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, if you would turn there with me, 1 Corinthians 1:17. Actually, I did it again. We've got it on the study sheet. What are we going to do with him? 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul writes, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." You see how he stacks them up contrary? Paul said, my calling wasn't to baptize. See, when we look at the essentials, when we see the gospel Paul preached, Paul did not preach baptism by immersion for the forgiveness of sins. Our traditions tell us to look around, maybe we can find a verse that'll fit with our traditions. And we do that. We'll go to like Acts 2:38, and we'll look at that more at a later time. But let me say this. There's three places in Scripture where it says be baptized. One of them is Acts 2:38. But the question that's proposed isn't like the question that's later in Acts 16:31 where it says, "What must I do to be saved?" The question for that group was, under the conviction of their sins, what must we do? And Paul called them to repentance. He called them to demonstrate that with baptism. The only other time where we're told to be baptized is in 1 Corinthians, and then it's saying specifically, Paul was telling them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let me give you a comparison. In the Gospel of John alone, in the English Standard Version, we are told to believe 98 times. Well, the word, back off that. The word believed or believe or believes or not believe is used 98 times. That's only the Gospel of John. Another thing is we're looking at water baptism for the forgiveness of sins. As contrary to believing for the forgiveness of sins, and where we're told that if you do not believe, you're condemned already, there's no such prohibition given for baptism. There's no place that says, and if you aren't baptized, you're still in your sins or you're not saved or anything like that. And there's no place past Acts, as Paul does with justified by faith, because that's what we're getting to in Galatians, there's no place past Acts that this false doctrine of water baptism for the forgiveness of sins is shared with the Apostle Paul. It is not his gospel. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I know I'm stepping on religious tradition. I'm your pastor. If I can't tell you the truth, then I need to get out of here, don't I? We bring our human traditions. Typically, we believe what we grew up believing, and we don't let go apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God. When we see the words, we see it's very clearly here. Paul says, the gospel, the one gospel, the only true gospel, is the one he preached. And he does not preach water baptism for the forgiveness of sins. What he goes to at length in Romans and Galatians, as we'll see, is we're justified by faith alone. We'll see in Ephesians, by grace you are saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's no works. No works means no works, no matter how emotionally we are attached to our tradition. No works means no works. Conclusion. There's one gospel and only one. There's one gospel and only one. Now take heart in this. The gospel that Paul preached, the only gospel, will never change. It's past, set in stone. Your word, O Lord, is forever. The gospel will never change. The gospel will always be exclusive. It will never be inclusive. The inclusive gospel is found in Matthew 7:13 when it speaks of the wide road that leads to destruction. And lastly, this morning, the gospel that Paul preached, the gospel alone will save. The other gospels might make you feel good, might give you a positive outlook. They might allow your sinful, rebellious life to continue as is, thinking that God's just winking at it and you're okay. But the gospel alone is the only one that saves us from our sins and makes us ready to be embraced by a God who is holy, 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 and dwells in unapproachable light. Grace. God did it. We did not. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Father, thank you to preach the opportunity, the stewardship that you've given me to preach your word of truth, to study, to absorb, to be consumed, Lord, by this instruction on the gospel that Paul preached and to share it. We pray, Lord, that we have listening hearts today, that the Holy Spirit is directing and teaching and rebuking and transforming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.